to trust your name in everything, with everything. I will look up, for there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that I need you, Jesus, Lord of all. I will look back, I'll see that you are faithful. I'll look ahead, believing you are able, Jesus, Lord of all. Oh, Jesus, Lord of all. I will take you at your word. Sing to him, church.
Prince of Peace, perfect healer, all my life, all my cares are on you, King of Kings, mighty Savior, all my life, all my cares are on you, Prince of Peace.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees, oh Spirit, come make us new. We turn our eyes from evil things, oh Lord, we cast down our idols.
Let's sing that again.
Wrestling with what I just feel like there's some holding us back today. I don't want that. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes? Do a little preparation before we pray. Like roll your shoulders back a little bit. You have your arms crossed. Would you maybe just let your hands hang? If they're closed or gripping something, perhaps just put whatever you're holding down and open them up. Take a deep breath in and just hold it. And exhale slowly. Breathe deep again. Only this time, think about inhaling this life-giving ruach, creation breath of God. Hold it. Exhale. One more time, except this time you're breathing in the pneuma, that spirit-filled breath that we see at Pentecost, God reveals to his people, gives to those who follow him. You've been created by a loving Heavenly Father. You've been given life through the Holy Spirit. And as we gather in his presence today, I just pray against distraction. Pray against feelings and emotion, and we would just recognize he's here with us. in this moment we would seek his face. With hearts open, with ears open, with minds open. Let us pray. Father, we gather into your presence and we hallow your name. We recognize who you are, your faithfulness, and our deep need for you. We acknowledge, God, that the good in our life, in our lives, Lord, is because of you. We see you at work even, Lord, in the not so good in our lives, and we praise you. I just feel there's some that have come today with some other things on their hearts and on their minds. I get it. Some carrying burdens, frustrations. Some with hurts and wounds. Some with physical illnesses, maybe even pain, but they're here. Moms and dads that are just tired and weary. Teachers, Lord, that know they're going to go back to work here in a few weeks, a few days. Marriages, Lord, that are just hanging on. I see it in shoulders. I see it in arms. I see it in our body language today. More than that, I sense it. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I'm believing that's of you. I just want to pray for those that are wrestling today. Just struggling. They're tired and weary. They need to be reminded that we don't have to ask you to continue pouring out your Spirit. You've already done that. But Lord, we do ask that you would help us to recognize in our own lives what's in the way. What's stopping us from breathing you in? What's preventing us, God, from receiving this life that we know only comes from you? We need to roll our shoulders some more. Maybe if we haven't uncrossed our arms, maybe to now we will. We haven't opened up our hands, Lord, and help us, Lord, to put ourselves in this posture of receiving what you have for us, of letting go of what it is that we've just clung to, that our arms and our hands are free to cling to you. Life is not easy. Lord, you promise we will overcome when we live it with you. We're going to face challenges, God. Those challenges make us stronger when we go through them and deal with them with you. And Lord, I pray today that we wouldn't be afraid of the difficult, knowing that you're working in the midst of them to shape and to mold and to create and to make us into who you want us to be. On this Sabbath Sunday, God, I pray that we would find rest. Maybe we would find forgiveness. We'd respond to your provision. We would be people that from our lips would lift up praise. Lord, have your way with us today. The testimony that we're about to hear is you at work. And through this story, Lord, help us to see you in our stories. We'll continue to give you praise and glory for who you are, not just for what you've done, but for what you're doing. God, be honored and glorified in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Well, it's good to be back with you this morning. I survived primary camp. Thank you for your prayers. I came back with the same number of kids that I left with, so I think they're all the right kids. No one said otherwise, so we're thankful for that. We had a great week. I think 23 of our children went to camp this week, and that's fantastic. What a great I believe work God's doing in the lives of our kids at such a young age. Look forward to seeing what that's going to become in the years ahead. But I come back to just a continuation of what God's doing here, and very excited about what we're going to share in together this morning. I wanted to share just a bit of scripture with you to kind of lead into a story that is going to be shared with you today. And in Revelation chapter 12, Verse 11 is a verse that I've grown to love and appreciate, especially as I see God work in my own life. And then Revelation 12, John writes, they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ on the cross, and by the word of their testimony. Your testimony, my testimony, your story, our collective stories. And what I am discovering, is that the more I think about my own individual story, the more I hear your story, God's all over it. And sometimes we need a faith community to help us see that and to recognize it and to value it. It matters. God's work in your life matters. And this whole idea of testimony and story, this week it kind of was shared with me, and I just love this takeaway. This is what this book is. It's a testimony. It's made up of two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the word testament, just by simple definition, is evidence of a specified fact, of an event. This book is evidence of God's work in our lives in creation. Now, in the Christian Latin, or to go into the Greek, the word testament means covenant. We have the Old Covenant that we understand that God worked through in the Old Testament, the covenant of Abraham, the promise that your descendants will be as many as the stars. And then the New Covenant that Jesus Christ brings to us, fulfilled by going to the cross. New testimonies. We are witnesses to God's covenant work. It's a specified fact and an event that we have lived out. And so when we think about sharing our stories, we're adding to, if you can imagine more chapters coming after this book, we continue are adding to God's story. We're part of the New Testament 2.0 or 3.0 or however many .0s we are after this book. And to think, well, that's blasphemous. No, it's not. We're just bearing witness to what God is doing in our lives. We're bearing witness to Christ's salvation. We give testimony to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I just love that. I'm not just writing my own story. I'm part of God's story. You're part of God's story. I commented a few weeks ago after Linda shared her testimony with us. Wasn't that a beautiful story, what God's doing in her life? And to see him continuing to work in her life, it's an awesome thing. He's not done with her yet. He's not done with you yet. But what I realize is that I think we have some really good services. We were sharing some great times together here, and we've heard some great messages. But the most shared messages on Facebook, on social media, on our YouTube, is not anything that I say or that Pastor Josh says or that Brian shares. The most shared messages are the stories you share. Why is that? Because stories matter. Your stories are important. And today, Dave and Cindy Johnson, I've asked them to come and share their story. And they're part of our CR team. And as I've gotten to know them over the course of these last 12 to 18 months, I have fallen in love with their story. And not just that, but their willingness to share it with humility, with the power that we know comes from the Holy Spirit. And they're going to use their story today, I believe, to encourage you. And I'm looking forward to what we're going to hear from them today. A little bit of background, I'm going to let them fill in some blanks, but Cindy comes from a ministry, has some ministry experience, but kind of a parallel story. I didn't start out in ministry, but neither did she, and God had other plans, so maybe that's why we connect the way that we do. Dave comes from a creative background, is still working in the area of graphic design, and they love all things Disney, but that's part of their story. I'll maybe let them share if they so choose, but I wanted you to hear their story, because God is at work in their lives and their marriage. Hasn't always been easy. They've shared some of the not so good in their life, even yet in this season they go through. But I'm excited what God has for them. See what he's doing, and how might God speak to you? What may God want to do in your life today as you listen to their testimony?
Thank you, Pastor Brian. And we are so blessed to be here. We have been here, I think, about maybe 15 months now. And we moved to North Lewisburg early in 2023, and I had been a United Methodist pastor for almost 25 years, and so all of my friends in this area who were United Methodist pastors expected that we would come to their church. I had to go on medical leave due to atrial fibrillation. That has now been extended because I have a rare eye disease that has taken my peripheral vision. And so we did start going to churches where we knew pastors, and the Holy Spirit just told us, like, it wasn't the place. It was Lent, and I said to Dave, you know what, for years you've had to go to whatever church I serve in.
It's true.
And so, you know what, you pick out the next church that we're going to go visit.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
So we around the Easter Lent I was a couple weeks before that, I started to, you know, browsing the internet like you do, looking for churches, and I ran across the sermon that Brian was giving. They recorded sermons on Facebook, and started listening to Brian, and I was like, wow, he's speaking the word. He's, you know, speaking the Bible, the truth. And I was like, hey, why don't we take a look at this church?
So we came, I think it was a couple Sundays before Palm Sunday, and not just one sentence, I won't say that, Pastor Brian, but one sentence particularly caught our hearts. It was just a very brief mention that the leadership team was praying about a vision for Celebrate Recovery. Mm-hmm. Something that's become near and dear to our own hearts. And we left that day and just had a real sense of peace about being here. It also was the welcoming spirit, but I said to Dave, you know what? We don't know anyone here. Well, we did, it ended up we knew the Schwins. I said, I believe this is a praying church. Like, there just was a sense in the sanctuary.
Definitely.
Of this being a praying church. And since that time, I have found out it definitely is a praying church, and I love the prayer ministry that goes on in this sanctuary. And so thank you for making us feel so welcome.
Yes,
we kind of bounce
much.
Back and forth between first and second service. We have feel really privileged to be part of the Celebrate Recovery launch team, and so excited to see what God is going to do here through that wonderful but messy ministry. We will tell you that.
That's right. All right, God's word in Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 14 proclaims, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. God designed marriage to be just that, holy, full of tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humbleness, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love, which does bind us all together in perfect harmony. God, you see, designed marriage as a ministry that reflects to our spouse and to others Jesus.
Our journey to understanding marriage as a ministry began many years ago at a relationship retreat. Cindy had attended a clergy meeting where a new relationship program was introduced. She brought home the brochure and asked if I would mind going. We agreed we didn't need the marriage skills outlined, but it would be important for Cindy to have experienced the program before referencing couples from the church. A month later, we sat in that relationship retreat, and within 30 minutes knew we were wrong. We needed this for us. We just didn't know how much we needed it.
Our relationship actually began long before, in 1988, as a setup. I was working in higher education as an administrator for institutional advancement. I had two very young children, and I was divorced just 1 year. And I had made it very clear to God that I would never marry again or even be in a relationship that would leave me vulnerable to the kind of hurt I had experienced.
I was hired by one of Cindy's team members to provide freelance graphic design support for the marketing department. He recognized my interest in Cindy, knew that she was adamant about never being in another relationship, and unbeknownst to either of us, planned a setup date.
We thought the other 15 or 20 people from the college who were supposed to meet up at this restaurant and dance club were just running late. And so we waited a little while. We finally sat down, and soon we barely noticed that the others didn't show.
That's right. We actually closed down the place at 2 a.m., never running out of things to talk about, making plans to see each other the next day. Within months, we were engaged and planning our wedding for 1 year to the day of that setup date.
And that's when my pastor congratulated me on the engagement by pointing out Dave and I had all the warning signs of a marriage that wouldn't work. We would have met, got engaged, lived together, and married all within 1 year. I was remarrying way too soon after a divorce, and I had two very young children.
And I had never been married, and I had real no experience with children.
I was born one Sunday in 1960 and in church literally the next, having a personal relationship with Jesus from the time I was five.
And I had never been in church until Cindy invited me the week after that setup date. And just a month before our engagement, I was baptized, accepting Jesus as my Savior and my Lord.
So I politely thanked my pastor for his guidance and reminded him how beautifully the children had bonded with Dave, and we proceeded with our wedding plans, and it was perfect in exactly all the ways we hoped for.
Immediately following our wedding ceremony, an older gentleman approached us and said, "I have never felt the Holy Spirit so alive between two people." We smiled, stared at each other, then at him, trying to find the right thing to say. But we didn't know what to say to that. We didn't really understand that. We certainly didn't live that.
Oh, we lived a good life. We both had wonderful professional careers. We loved serving the Lord by helping others. We were raising our children, Benjamin and Ashley, in the church.
We were church leaders, me in music, Cindy teaching youth, and eventually serving as a lay preacher. By the time Ben and Ashley were young teens, they were leaders in the church and in school, excelling in academics, music, theater, and sports.
God led us to the adoption of our daughter Tanya, who was nine. Abused and abandoned by her birth family, she could speak just about a dozen words, and she was angry at the world. As a family, we poured into her until little by little she began to accept healing.
Cindy finally answered her call to pastoral ministry. A few years later, we adopted our son Frank. We were his 13th family by the time we met him at age 11, and his second adoption. Sure, life wasn't always perfect. There were challenges, but life was good.
Until it wasn't. About a year after Frank's adoption, it was evident that he was just not interested in bonding with our family. It was as if he couldn't accept our love. And through his counseling, we learned more and more deeply about the horrific trauma he had suffered. At the same time, I required what was supposed to be a very minor surgery that led to a systemic MRSA infection, which sent me into septic shock, and I nearly died. Actually, by medical standards, I shouldn't even be alive.
Through it all, Frank escalated. After 22 months and multiple surgeries, Cindy miraculously recovered. She poured her heart and soul into God's call to save two dying churches, as well as an emotionally and spiritually dead child. Yet we did not recognize the slow death of our own relationship. Our psychiatrist soon identified sociopathic tendencies surfacing in Frank. He grew more and more out of control, and so did I. I retreated into myself and even into my music ministry. I was afraid to further invest in the relationship with Frank after his constant rejection. I spiritually, emotionally, and relationally separated from Cindy. Instead, I looked to others for fulfillment and returned to a destructive and evil habit a family member had introduced to me when I was just 12 years old. Pornography. Cindy had no idea.
But what I did know was this: chaos ran rampant in our lives and in our home. Spiritual warfare swirled around us. I dug deep into prayer, deeper and deeper, and into every resource I could get my hands on, trying anything and everything to help Frank and the churches. And Frank responded to nothing, finding every opportunity to commit acts of evil. And so I just simply dug in harder. There must be something I was missing. The Holy Spirit was alive and well by this time in the churches, so what was keeping that same Holy Spirit from Frank? And I asked God that question over and over and over. The grip of evil was so clear, and yet I was so busy trying to overcome it for Frank that I never realized the hold the enemy had on my husband.
The situation was far, far bigger than us, but never bigger than our God.
Through a divine moment of painful but very necessary truth revealed, we both realized what a disastrous path we were headed down as a couple, as individuals, and as a family. We began again to share in what God had already given us and what we truly believed in, prayer and scripture. And remember that relationship retreat we attended all those years ago that we didn't need? Well, we began again utilizing the effective communication and conflict resolution skills we learned there, too.
I accepted help for my habits and hang-ups through Jesus, counseling, and the Celebrate Recovery ministry God had previously led Cindy to launch in the church. We chose together to allow Jesus to heal the hurts in our marriage through repentance, forgiveness, and His grace. And since then, He has blessed us to help lead other hurting couples to His healing too.
We are far from perfect. Did you hear that? We are far from perfect.
Amen.
However, we are passionate and intentional about investing in our own relationship spiritually and emotionally so we may obediently serve the Lord by investing in others. Because now we do understand why God designed marriage as a ministry. To be holy, full of tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humbleness, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love, reflecting through the Holy Spirit in us and to others, Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, which binds us all together in perfect harmony.
Hopefully you see a little bit of yourselves in their story or parts of their story. But one of the things there's parts where I can see, I can imagine, I wonder what that was like. And part of CR, an important part of Celebrate Recovery is evaluating your relationships and making amends for those you've hurt, being merciful to one another. And I think that's probably one of the biggest hurdles, not just in Celebrate Recovery, but in all of our lives. It's this idea of having to confess that we've wronged someone or we've done something wrong. It's easy to confess to a God we can't always see. Much harder to confess something to someone else that we've hurt. So Dave, I'm going to put you on the spot, kind of a tough question. What was that hurdle like for you? How did it come out? And then what was that initial interaction? Because I think that at times was what holds us back from finding healing, mm-hmm. from finding the recovery that we know we desperately need from taking that first step.
Sure. It was... In the moment, it was crushing. Cindy had found on the family iPad, some text messages from some people I work with, some females, with some texts that were very inappropriate.
So you find this information. What's next?
Well, it was a really crazy time going on in our life right then. And it also happened to be that I found it. And it was also right before Dave called me. Always called me at 4 p.m. when he would leave his office. And we would talk on his drive home and kind of make sure we were on the same page for what was happening in the evening. And I had just found it, and he called. And I'm not one to beat around the bush, so I just told him what I found. And we both, it was a lot of tears, and to add to it, the craziness of it, I had also just discovered something horrific that had happened with our adopted son, Frank, and we had company in for the weekend from out of town. So, I mean, it was just layer after layer after layer of craziness and chaos. And so it was very, I mean, the 40 minutes of Dave's drive home, usually we talk about like half of that. Mm-hmm. And we hung up, and Dave considered not coming home. And but thank the Lord, he did.
Yeah.
And we started, in that moment, we started working through things. I mean, it was awful, it was hard, but it was right.
Yes.
Can I, and this might be a harder question, but why not go home?
You know, if I didn't have that relationship with God that I had, and I didn't have that faith in what he can do, that might have been a thing that happened. Yeah. It
so
might have been a different
word
story.
Shame, right? Is shame would be was what holds us back often from finding what it is God has for us. Mm-hmm. And curiously, in the step that I just mentioned of evaluating our relationships and making amends, the beatitude that goes with that is blessed are the merciful. You shared first service about a conversation you had with God that I think speaks right to that.
After, you know, we had talked for a bit and kind of pulled ourselves together once Dave was home, and I was pretty ticked, right? I mean, I was not pretty ticked. I was really ticked and crushed. And so I was praying about what I was going to do. Like, I don't even know, like, I prayed about Dave at that point. I was just praying, like, what am I going to do? Kind of like a here we go again kind of thing. And I just said to God, what do I do? And the audible voice of God, which I've only heard a handful of times in my life, he said to me, are you going to preach grace or are you going to give grace? And it was a spiritual gut punch. And it was exactly what I needed. Exactly what I needed.
For those that have been in similar situations, we can testify, and we know that we can't climb out of certain holes by ourselves.
No.
So talk to me, Dave, about the help or the people in your life that, beyond Cindy, obviously that was an important piece of it, the most important piece, who are the others that have come beside you and helped you climb out of that and stay out of that kind of repetitious behaviors or cycles?
Well, but most importantly, you know, I knew I couldn't do this myself. I couldn't, you know, climb out of this hole that I had dug myself. So I reached out to a Christian counselor in Springfield, started going and seeing him 2 days a week. We both talked extensively. He gave me a lot of really good guidance and things, ways to move forward in a Christian way. You know, reading through the Bible, using that as a reference. A couple months after that, Cindy started also attending and moving forward.
And as God would have it, it was just like a year before that God had led me to learn about Celebrate Recovery and launch Celebrate Recovery in the church I was pastoring.
Yep.
Which became a huge tool, not only for our own recovery, but then for us to be able to use that as a testimony to help others.
Yep.
I think it's easy for us, and you very easily could have done this too, with the other circumstances going on in your life, could have justified or blamed what was happening.
Absolutely.
In other parts. Mm-hmm. And I think that's our tendency, so that we can not take responsibility. So what steps did you take to actually take responsibility? What did that look like in your own personal life and in mm-hmm. your relationship?
Sure. One thing that I started doing, or what I did, and I still do that, I downloaded a program on my phone called Covenant Eyes. And what it is, it doesn't lock your phone down. You still can go to any website you want. But the thing is, I have an accountability partner that also views my web information and where I've been looking. And this individual can then give me a call, say, hey, you know, what's going on? You know, so I use that as a resource. You know, I constantly I reach out to other guys. I also have, a really special relationship with an individual that I can share a lot of deep things.
Well, how are you doing now? Where are you at now in your relationship?
Well, in October, we'll celebrate our 35th wedding anniversary. And that same day, we'll be at Disney celebrating without our kids and grandkids, much to the grandkids' disappointment. It's also...
And that's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Great. We're excited. We love to take them, but this is just for us. And so we are doing very well, but we're not perfect. I mean, and the enemy, especially when you're digging into ministry, you know, we're part, a little piece of this, helping to launch Celebrate Recovery here. So the enemy is going to be like, oh, well, we need to derail that, right? And so we are like very attentive and to that, and very sensitive to that through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to be, and anyone is who in ministry has to be. And we
have to be very intentional,
yes,
with our marriage. I mean, since...
And open.
Yeah,
so, open.
Since we were married, every Friday we go on a date night. You know, even through the time when Frank was in our home, we would always make time. I mean, it may have been in the house and not actually going out, but we still made it intentional.
And we still do that. We love to have fun, but we also, you know, we have Bible study with each other. We have a daily devotion that we do. We just really invest. And of course, now as empty nesters, no kids, no pets, then at home, then, you know, we can manage our time pretty easily now.
One thing I asked them if they would be willing to, and they were, have graciously, they're willing to open up their lives to you, to us. And they're such encouragers to Amy and I, to our staff. They go out of their way. They see what it is. They know what it is that our lives can look like at times. They have some shared chapters with adoption and some other areas of ministry and life. So they've been a welcome breath, if you will, as I shared breath earlier, to us. And they're willing to share with you and to kind of walk beside some of you too, as you could, if you maybe would like to kind of ask them some questions. And that's one of the things I appreciate about them. And God took me to Hebrews chapter 13 as we kind of wrap things up today. And the writer of Hebrews says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And we confess grace, we confess mercy. When we talk about these stories of reconciliation, we are confessing his name. And then the writer continues in verse 16, do not forget to do good and to share with others. With such sacrifices, God is pleased. I want to make sure that you understand, we're not trying to emphasize pornography or the bad behaviors. Those are part of all of our lives. Those are things that we struggle with and wrestle with. Instead, we want to glorify God's presence and his grace and his goodness. We share our stories together. We all have those chapters. That's what makes for a good story, is conflict that needs resolution. But Jesus is the one who resolves these things in our lives. That's what we have in common. We bring him glory when we share these painful and hard moments. We don't justify, we don't make excuses, but we acknowledge them. We let God bring healing into our lives through others and through their story. So I so appreciate you sharing. I've been looking forward to this for a long time, and I've learned a lot about myself, even in hearing your stories. But can we thank Dave and Cindy for their willingness and openness to share this today? Amen. So let me pray for us, pray for each one of us, and hopefully you have a chance to talk with them afterwards. And keep sharing your story. Be encouraged. You're not alone in all that you're going through. We are a faith family, and we're in this together. Right, Father, thank you for speaking to us today, for being with us today. And I pray, Father, we will be encouraged to share our stories with others, because ultimately, Lord, in our ups and our downs, people can find you if we look hard enough. You're there. And God, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for putting others in our lives that understand, that can walk with us through valleys, that can encourage us when life's not going so well. Lord, we just praise you for what it is you're doing. Help us, God, as we continue to write new chapters. May you, Lord, always be the one who brings us back to this place of reconciliation, the one in whom we find our hope, the one from whom grace comes, where we find mercy. Father, thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go, do good, share with others, with such sacrifices, God is pleased.